quick announcement, if you haven't already heard, Dan Grine underwent emergency surgery yesterday, Monday morning. He's still in the hospital. He'll be there, I hear, until at least Friday in regards to a blood clot. Keep him in your prayers, and Felice, his wife, as well as the rest of the family. In line with that test, if you don't think it's not a corporate matter, our website is down, and Dan is our webmaster. So another good reason to pray. So if you can't pick up any of your tapes right now, if you have to miss class for prep school, whatever, be patient with us. We'll eventually, with God's assistance and grace, get it back online. The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharpening any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, and the joints and the marrow. It's a critic of the thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, fully furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Open this evening to the doctrine of boasting, where we'll pick up page 2 of our notes. All right, as is our custom, we'll give you opportunity to get in fellowship. God's in control of all circumstances and situations. Now is not the time to be preoccupied with things outside this classroom. Now is not the time to be preoccupied with the truth of Bible doctrine. It is in Bible doctrine that we truly are able to draw our encouragement and comfort in regards to life and things of this nature, to correctly understand and know what God's will is. And in order to maximize in regards to our study of that respect, it demands that each and every one of us are in fellowship. Obviously, this is how we should pursue our life otherwise in this respect, and to isolate the sin nature and be predisposed otherwise to receive the truth of doctrine undistorted by the sin nature. So with that in mind, we'll give you opportunity to rebound if necessary as we start with our normal word of prayer. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you for the enlightenment of those who are positive, true seekers of you with respect to it. And we ask once again this evening that the Holy Spirit will enlighten us to these things. Once again, in Jesus' name, amen. All right. Here, reviewing the principle of verbal activity referred to as boasting. Boasting or bragging is another term that we are familiar with in regards to our society, in our language. It indicates a verbal proclamation of glorifying or exalting another person or being, animate or inanimate, in that respect, reflecting a sense of pride in an inflated way with respect to the object of boasting. And in that respect, boasting can occur either in a sinful fashion via the SCA, or it can come under the government of God's kingdom under sanctified boasting. Sanctified boasting obviously looks at something that God is pleased with and is acceptable before God, and it's not a sin. Unfortunately, most boasting that we will ever hear in our life is from the cosmos and from the STA. And sinful boasting is another aspect of verbal sin, sin of the tongue, that people get wrapped up in with respect to trying to make things better than what they really are, and other different reasons and whys people would engage in boasting. Insecurity, things of this nature, STA, things that drive people, and why they otherwise seek to appeal to other aspects of their STA to support their weaknesses throughout. And in that respect, under sinful boasting, here we're dealing in Roman numeral 3, subpoint F, specific areas that are in general are recognized of STA-sponsored boasting. As we saw, one, the IQ, human intelligence, is an area that is noteworthy in regards to society. People place a premium on people's intellectual capabilities and abilities in that respect. And obviously, these things in and of themselves are not wrong. One's academic achievements, philosophies, viewpoints in life, these things that people are able to conjure up in regards to their own ability to think and rational out in a rational way in a high level. Obviously, these things in and of themselves in regards to pursuits and possession of are not simple. But when one places one's confidence and one places a premium in regards to that, that's more important than Bible doctrine. And if you're not highly intelligent, then you're really not anything worthy of being a human being, being on this planet. You know, what are you providing for the human race? Things of this nature. You know, all the kinds of different boastful, prideful things that people of this ilk who are arrogant, condescending in nature, generally speaking, will throw at people. And we are not to boast in these things. The Bible makes it very clear, as we saw in Jeremiah 9, not to boast in our human wisdom. Paul was highly educated academically in regards to being a Pharisee's Pharisee is what he refers to himself at. He said no one surpassed him. But yet when it came down to Bible doctrine and the plan of God, he says these things are rubbish. Of human feces, actually, is the Greek in that regards. And they are meaningless. What God is looking for is what's in the soul. And obviously, positive volition is that which is important, and the doctrine in the soul is that which further places that soul in a position that's acceptable before God in regards to its acceptance and application and things of this nature. So it's one of those things. We live in a society that is prone to over-accelerate the very aspect of education. Quite frankly, it's my opinion that they want everybody in schools because that's where the big propaganda campaign is going on in regards to their human viewpoint approach. But that's just my opinion. In a court of law, I'm not liable because it's my opinion. See, that's one of the things I learned from lawyers. When you get up and you state something, you don't state it as a fact. You say, it's my opinion. Then they can't come back on you in regards to it. So there you are. Wise as a serpent, you know, gentle as a dove in Satan's world. Two, another thing is one's human abilities, capabilities, physical capabilities, to include, obviously, one's national military, confidence in bragging in one's allies to protect them. We saw aspects of that in regards to Israel, a thing that they continually engage in today as they look to our country as their great protector. You know, the U.S. is our ally. Well, that's nothing to sneeze at. Yeah, we've got some power. But guess what? One of these days, that's not going to be around to protect them. And then they're going to really be called to task. Where are they going to put their hope? Where are they going to put their boast then? And, well, we know. So, one's physical capability, you know, physical feats of strength generally promote nothing more than approbation, vanity, in regards to people, pride in their bodies. And again, we always put a premium on that, on people's looks. So another aspect, not recognizing and giving God the credit, truly, in regards to one's abilities and capabilities and being in charge of all things, control of all things, circumstances and situations, life, in regards to our lives and history in and of itself. Three, we're not to put our boast into wealth, into our money, to our economical attainments. Just because one is wealthy doesn't make him anything anything exceptional spiritually. If that's the case, Jesus Christ in his humanity would have owned the world while he was here. He did. We know as God. But, I mean, in his physical possessions, see. Now, Paul, sometimes he had a lot, sometimes he was barely able to get by, but God always provided his living grace. These things, in again, in and of themselves, do not dictate where one is at spiritually. That's another fallacy that is thrown out in regards to the funding world, that if you're not wealthy or whatever, then something's wrong with you spiritually. What a crock. Most of those people that you see that's involved in the religious world that are very wealthy are the idiots out there giving Christianity a black eye big time. But anyway, we won't get into that. For we're not to boast in tomorrow and what we may seek to achieve and attain to in regards to our life, the future, things of that nature. James 4 was a very special passage dealing with that. 5, we're not to boast in others. 1 Corinthians 3:21. 6, we are not to boast in toleration of evil, as we saw in regards to the Corinthian church under an abused form of grace in regards to this incestuous Corinthian engaged in gross immorality and tolerating that and allowing him to go on like nothing else is wrong in regards to what's going on in that church rather than dealing with it as they should have. As that is leaven, you have certain aspects of leaven when they're left unbridled and free, it has a direct impact. And you must step in and deal with it immediately in regards to the church. It's true in regards to SE activity. It's true in regards to a viewpoint. Somebody trying to insert some type of false doctrine, see. Yeah, you would be expected to deal with that. So, toleration of evil. Not boast in one's arrogance. That somehow they're more grace-oriented than others. Well, I can tell you this, grace never supersedes righteousness. Righteousness is the watchdog of all of God's activities and other attributes, an expression of himself. So while grace does exist, we recognize it, it has its boundaries. And certain gross immorality is not to be tolerated with respect to the involvement and participation within a local assembly. 7, where we left off, another area produces and we're not to boast in, and as simple as erroneous religiosity. Deuteronomy 29. Part of the covenant in regards to Israel. Verse 14, Now not with you alone am I making this covenant and this oath. Verse 15, but both with those who stand here with us today in the presence of the Lord our God, with those who are not with us here today, for you know how we lived in the land of Egypt and how we came through the midst of the nations through which you have passed. Verse 17, moreover, you have seen their abominations and their idols of wood, stone, silver, and gold, which they had with them. Their idols looks at their form of idolatry, false religion. That's what it represents. Here, obviously, in the form of pagan idolatry. In verse 18, unless there should be among you a man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turns away from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of those nations. Unless there shall be among you a root-bearing poisonous fruit and wormwood, taking ideologies off of this pagan religions, the religiosity rather than the true Christian or true religion that God has provided for them, true worship of God himself. And basically being destructive spiritually with respect to the nation. In verse 19, and it shall be when he hears the words of this curse that he will boast, saying, I have peace, though I walk in the stubbornness of my heart in order to destroy the watered land with the dry. to take with it a mixture of false doctrine and putting it in with the true doctrine that Israel is supposed to represent as a nation. See, that's the watered land, and they're trying to mix it in with this desert dryness of false doctrine. That's why we are to keep the doctrine pure within the local assembly and within the church. Otherwise, and people boasting that somehow they are great on how they have implemented their own ideas and borrow from other religions' ideas to insert in regards to the doctrine itself. That's why we refrain, we are to refrain from engaging in activities that are not sponsored by the Word of God and otherwise violate the Word of God. Just because it doesn't say not to do something doesn't make it right. But that's the attitude of many churches. Well, it doesn't say it's a sin to have their traditions of men. Well, it does if you look close enough, idiots. You got to put these things together, though. Psalm 97:7. Let all those be ashamed who serve graven images. Graven images is representative of anything that one places above the truth of doctrine in service and worship of God. Graven image can be, pride in looks, job, anything that you take and you make it your philosophy and pursuit of life over doctrine. We refer to things of this nature often as sacred cows. See, the sacred cows in life. And the psalmist makes clear here, let all those be ashamed who serve graven images, who boast themselves of idols. Worship him, all you gods. What is an idol? Paul brings that question up. What is an idol? It's a non-entity. These are things that are not truly of anything worth worshiping. Not as our God. Not as the truth of Bible doctrine that is alive and powerful. So, for those who otherwise embrace false religion, false doctrine, and many of these often will turn around and boast and see, look what we've done. We've started ministries that are not sponsored by Bible doctrine, but under the name of our church, and look at all these things we've done. They're boast. And they should be ashamed because they're stepping out the restrictions placed upon them by Bible doctrine otherwise. Jeremiah 23:32. In regards to false prophets. And these are prophets that are not necessarily representing, obviously, another pagan religion. No, what they're seeking to represent is the religion within their own geography of Israel. In other words, they're distorting God's word to Israel otherwise, and saying this is the truth. In other words, sheep in wolves' clothing, or wolves in sheep clothing otherwise. Behold, verse 31, and I against the prophets, declares the Lord, who use their tongues and declare, the Lord declares. See, the Lord declares. Not just any idiot. It's someone who has gained the attention of otherwise converts of Israel. Behold, I'm against those who have prophesied false dreams, declares the Lord, and related them, and led my people astray by their falsehoods and reckless boasting. Reckless boasting. It goes right along line with the false doctrine that they adhere to. Yet I did not send them or command them, nor did they furnish this people the slightest benefit, declares the Lord. Sometimes you hear comments in regards to fundy churches and stuff, you know. Well, we can draw a little good out of here, a little good. Well, yeah, we understand they might actually hit on a sound doctrine on occasion, but they're really of no true benefit. If they're not teaching doctrine at a level that people cannot otherwise attain to the prize, they are of no benefit, truly, in regards to the Christian way of life. In service of God. I tend to draw the line in the sand as a communicator, but that's what doctrine does. See, either you are or you aren't. Either you're positive or you're not. Either you're engaged in divine good production and you're accumulating SG3 in your account or you're not. Either you're going to get the prize or you're not. See. By the grace of God, none of us have to forfeit any of that if we stay positive. These fundy churches out there and in the world of denominationalism, etc., are not providing that kind of phase two doctrine. Those that are very few and far between. Romans 2:17-23. So false teachers, false prophets, you've got to be constantly alert and aware that these people do exist. And they will engage in activities in order to try to bring other people within their ranks. And your protection is the doctrine that you have in your soul, being in fellowship, isolating your own SCA and recognizing the SCA activity and false doctrine otherwise that's being emitted. Part of my job is to arm you so that you are protected against that. See, that kind of an attack. And they do take their toll. Obviously, we recognize people are going to do what they're going to do. You know. People that fall for it ultimately usually are negative anyway. But it does not relieve anyone of their culpability otherwise. Romans 2:17-23. Here in the New Testament, but if you bear the name Jew and rely upon the law and boast in God, as Paul is looking to his brothers, Jewish brothers, that otherwise are adhering to mainline Judaism still at the time, rather than true Christianity, and know his will and approve the things that are essential, superior, being instructed out of the law. In other words, they get their lessons from the Bible, and are confident that you yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, an educator of the ignorant people, literally, the foolish, a teacher of the immature, having in the law the embodiment of knowledge and of the truth. You, therefore, who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who proclaim that one should not steal, do you steal? You say that one should not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who boast in the law, through your breaking the law, do you dishonor God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. The hypocrisy is clear in regards to those who adhere to false doctrine in spite of all the verbiage they may use otherwise. Just as is written, see, the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you, just as it is written. You proclaim one thing, but yet you do something else. Your actions do not follow your words. So that's one area that you can use to test in regards to things. Is there any presence of hypocrisy in regards to what is being taught or said? 8, we are never to boast in anti-Semitism. We recognize where the Jewish people are in God's history. As a nation, they are negative yet. But it gives us no right. They are still God's people. It gives us no right to be anti-Jewish. Obadiah 1:12. And especially to boast in that. Do not gloat over your brother's day, the day of his misfortune, and do not rejoice over the sons of Judah in the day of their destruction. Yes, do not boast in the day of their distress. Then compare Romans 11:18, where Paul, in a parallel, if you will, in regards here to the mental attitude of Gentile believers in regards to the Jews. Do not be arrogant toward the branches of the domesticated olive tree, Israel, from which came their Savior. And their original authorities in regards to church age doctrine, the apostles. And the Gentiles are looked at as being the wild olive that's grafted into the domesticated olive tree. Hence the title Judeo-Christianity. Do not be arrogant toward the branches. But if you are arrogant, remember that it is not you who supports the root, but the root supports you. You wouldn't be here, we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Israel, for the positive volition that came out of that Jewish nation. Essentially. You will say then, branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in. Verse 20, quite right. They were broken off for their unbelief. But you stand by your faith. Do not be conceited, but fear. Conceit often goes right along with boasting. And that should be a righteous fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, neither will He spare you. God has a real affinity for the Jewish race. He began the Jewish race. They came into existence in a very supernatural way. Abraham became the first Hebrew. And God touched his genetics in a fashion to make them a separate race. Isn't that cool? And then there is a separate DNA pattern they find within the Jewish race, apart from the other Gentile races. So God has a real affinity for them. They still are His chosen people, ultimately. We're here simply based on a temporary hiatus, interruption in regards to their dispensation because of negative volition. But positive volition will reemerge on the stage from the Jewish racial heritage of Israel. And then we'll see some dramatic action on this planet, big time, on behalf of righteousness. Verse 22, behold then the kindness and severity of God to those who fail severity, but to you God's kindness. In other words, better stay oriented to the grace that has brought you here. And has made you what you are today. See. If you continue in His kindness, otherwise you also will be cut off. And eventually we will. He'll have enough of our dispensation, of our antics. even though it won't be in complete, total unbelief, because to be a part of the church, you've got to be a believer. Now, the cutting off is because he gets tired of believers in the last days flirting with him and not taking doctrine seriously. It's just a superficial, haphazard approach in regards to the Scriptures. In verse 23, they also, if they do not continue in their unbelief, will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. And indeed, that's what happens. As the final 7 years of the age of Israel comes to completion. 9, obviously we should not boast in our STA lusts, our intentions, STA intentions. Psalm 10:3. For the wicked boasts of his heart's desire, and the greedy man curses and spurns the Lord. Ten, and evil in general. Psalm 52:1. Why do you boast in evil, O mighty man? The evil, along with the presumed presence of power, see, that men tend to wield, try to wield regards their own persons. The loving kindness of God endures all day long. God's loyal love is constantly there, and these people reject it. Those under their sin nature, those who are negative to doctrine, they boast in what their accomplishments are. 11, deceitful tactics in dealing with others. Proverbs 20:14. Bad, bad, says the buyer. But when he goes away, then he boasts. The trying to deceive in regards to purchase of something and to get the person down, if you will, in regards to the cost. And then he goes out and said, look at this good deal I got. Unfortunately, the term that usually is used in that regard is trying to Jew people down. So that's part of the words used in regards to recognizing this kind of greed, as they had that kind of reputation. So, trust me, they're good at it. I worked in a pawn shop one time that was owned by Jewish guys. They were fun to work with. They were a real hoot. But, man, you didn't get nothing over on these people. They were sharp. Supposedly, it was the largest pawn shop in the world at that point in time. I remember one time I was counting, nothing to do for a little while. I was counting guitars he had hanging on his wall. And I can remember, I counted something like 1,500 to 2,000. And he had twice that number in the back in storage. Then one day he committed suicide. You go, well, I guess wealth doesn't bring you happiness, does it? I remember his name quite clearly. I remember the other Jewish guy that worked with him. His name was Hyman. Hyman was his name. Seems like there ought to be a song about that. But anyway, H-Y-M-E-N. I don't know. I'm in one of those moods tonight. But nothing disrespectful. But, you know, when you have a reputation for something, then handles get hung on you. And that's the way it is. There's nothing anti-Semitic about them. Chiseler is another term. So deceitful tactics in dealing with others, we should be straightforward, upfront. Obviously, if someone's overcharging, there's nothing wrong with addressing that. That's just another thing. Good grief. I mean, you live in a society where things are marked up so far beyond what they really are worth anymore. think I'll be have the right to be able to go in and try to talk them down on everything, almost. But anyway, we won't get into that. 12, boasting in what isn't yours by divine allotment. God provides to go in and take credit where credit's really not due. That type of approach, 2 Corinthians 10:13. Paul himself, in contrast to preachers today, self-proclaimed apostles, but we will not boast beyond our measure, but within the measure of the sphere which God divided to us as a measure to reach even as far as you. And here he's dealing with his apostolic ministry. God had a geographical will for all the apostles in this respect. Paul and the apostles did not go in and did not invade other pastors' cannons trying to rob their sheep. And neither did they take credit for what another communicator or another apostle accomplished in their own ministry. See. So, to recognize God's in control, to recognize and to submit yourself to God's will in that regard, and be acclimated to that. If our church can hang in there to the end and we have prize winners out of this church, you know, as far as I'm concerned, that's boast enough. We'll be in a position that is in the top 1/100th, probably the percentile, 99.9% of churches today. If we can hang in there and do that. So, Paul didn't boast in another man's canon, another man's accomplishments, converts, things of that nature. 13, false teachers and their followers. Obviously, false teachers, a big issue for them is usually numbers, how many people they can get. See. Galatians 6:13. For those who are circumcised, this looks at particularly what is referred to as the Judaizers that existed at the time of Paul. Jews who became believers, but they were legalistic, and they said you not only had to believe in Christ, but you had to engage in work or ritual, be circumcised, keep the law to be saved. And Paul had to put up with that. And he addresses them, for those who are circumcised do not even keep the law themselves, again denoting the hypocrisy that you'll find in the realm of false teachers. But they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh. When you think about it, to me there's some pretty sarcastic humor that Paul is putting in regards to these false teachers as he brings up the issue of circumcision and the numbers that they are able to acquire in their ministry in this regards. What are they doing? Collecting foreskins? See, that's the idea. I love the Bible. It tells it like it is. It draws a line in the sand. Here's the truth. So, that's kind of humorous. I won't get into any further humor on that. As everybody's going, thank God. 14, appearance and the pride of life. 2 Corinthians 5:12. We are not again committing ourselves to you, Paul in addressing false teachers, infiltration, their attacks, would often refer to sarcasm, sanctify sarcasm in regards to his defense. So you got to understand that. And he says, "We are not again commending ourselves to you, but are giving you an occasion to be proud of us." Literally, boast in us, that you may have answer for those who take pride in appearance and not in heart. For the false teachers who like to just have the position of being recognized as an apostle, see, as a great a minister of God. There are some people that are driven like that, like our popes, our cardinals, in the Catholic Church. A lot of that's driven by appearance, position. So, Paul says, if you have a boast in us, it's because you're able to defend the truth against these idiots. See, you can boast in us for that. I've revealed them for what they are, and you can see them for what they are. Then the pride of life, that's how John terms things in life that take precedent over doctrine. 1 John 2:16, verse 15, stop loving the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love for the Father is not in him. If that's where your true affection and goal and desire to appease lies over the truth of doctrine and application of doctrine in your own life, then you do not have God's love, which is agapao love. All that is in the world, this is which is part of the cosmos, that Satan sponsors through negative volition of their SCA, the lust of the flesh, things that stimulate your sin nature, the lust of the eyes, those things that you're focused on in life to acquire or are most important to you, and the boastful pride of life, your accomplishments. Go ahead and boast all you want, but your glory will be restricted to time. See. Your glory is in time. When you pursue things and your accomplishments is at the expense of Bible doctrine, and you have any boast. So, in that sense, I wouldn't deprive one of a boast, because that's all you're going to get. For those who hang in there in true humility through doctrine and are not recognized in time by the world, generally, see, our boast will be for all eternity. The boastful pride of life, these things are not from the Father, but is from the world. See, all the things that the world says are so damn important over the expense of doctrine. Your job is more important than Bible doctrine. Even though the believer will try to tell them for it, no, it's not. But they don't care. They don't see it. They'll give people time off for academic pursuits. They'll recognize that. But to be in Bible class, oh, man, what's that? What's your problem, son? You know, that condescending attitude that people have. Well, that's the way it is, the boastful pride of life. G, boasting in oneself often includes, and these are just general areas that encompass what, obviously, but in general describe when one is self-centered in regards to their boasting. One, and you see this, obviously, in one's heritage or racial arrogance, one's lineage, maybe one's economic background, but race, see, that's a big card that's constantly being played. Romans 2:17. Here, in regards to Paul, as we read earlier, but if you bear the name Jew, see, they like to throw that out. And the Jewish, as we saw in the Gospel, the Jewish people had a real STA issue in regards to racial arrogance. They look down upon the Gentiles and others outside the Jewish race as something less than. Well, God definitely reversed that on them. See. So if you bear the name Jew, well, so what if your lineage comes out of certain stocks of genetic DNA? That doesn't get you anywhere. What gets you there is your attitude towards doctrine and your commitment and loyalty to doctrine and application to God. These things, again, in and of themselves are not wrong. They can be interesting. Yeah, it's interesting to know your family tree. But how much and how often is it that family is put before God? See, an emphasis put on that. It's my people. I got to go help my people, and they'll abandon God's plan otherwise. It's my impression that's what Barnabas got wrapped up in regards to his confrontation with Paul in the ministry. Because it was his family. He was dealing with his family. It's my sister's child. See, even though Paul was the apostle, he was the authority, and he said no. So, you know. But, you know, unless people come to grips and people have the kind of commitment and desire and the focus in regards to God and are able to have broad shoulders spiritually that way, that's the way it's going to continue to be. See, they'll put family before God. Two, one's gifts, real or imagined. One's gifts, real or imagined. One's abilities, talents. Proverbs 25:14. And sometimes the talents are imagined. People think they're better at something than they are. You know, you like the humorous movies where somebody thinks they can sing and they sound like a cat screeching, see. And everybody's trying to be polite. You can be polite, compassionate, and still telling the truth. Don't leave your day job. See, Proverbs 25:14. Like clouds and wind without rain, is a man who boasts of his gifts falsely. It's empty. See, it's empty. Three, what is another's and their accomplishments? We saw that in regards to Paul boasting, maintaining his boast within his own canon. To finish reading the verses there, 2 Corinthians 10, 13 through 16. We will not boast beyond our measure, but within the measure of the sphere which God portioned to us as a measure, to reach even as far as you. We are not overextending ourselves, as if we did not reach to you, for we were the first to come even as far as you in the gospel of Christ. They plowed the field, so to speak, first in the area of Corinth. Not boasting beyond our measure. Again, emphasizing, recognizing was allotted to them by God versus that which is not. That is another man's laborers. But with the hope that as your faith grows, we shall be within our sphere enlarged even more by you. If there's any exaltation, it'll come with his associates that's bona fide before God. So as to proclaim the gospel even to the regions beyond you. And again, not to boast and what has been accomplished in the sphere of another. Alright, Roman numeral 4. Now on the other side of the coin, this section looks at sanctified boasting. Boasting that is completely legitimate, bona fide, in the eyes of God, and not part of the STA. So first of all, there are certain specifics to keep in mind in regards to sanctified boasting. One, sanctified boasting is in God and His plan. It's never in self. It's never stems from self-centeredness, pride of the flesh. See. Psalm 34:2. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble will hear it and rejoice. The humble being positive volition. And the boast is in the sphere of God, in the sphere of Yahweh. Psalm 44:8. In God we have boasted all day long, and we will give thanks to your name forever. Again, Jeremiah 9:23-24, in the contrast, STA boasting versus sanctified boasting. Let not a wise man boast of his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast of his might. Let not a rich man boast of his riches. But let him who boasts boast of this, that he understands and knows me. That I am the Lord who exercises loyal love, fidelity, loving kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For I delight in these things, declares the Lord. Romans 15:17. Therefore, in the sphere of Christ Jesus, I have found reason for boasting in things pertaining to God. Christ is the agency that makes it all possible, and ultimately the boast is directed towards God the Father. The planner of the plan. 1 Corinthians 1:31. Just as it is written, let him who boasts boast in the Lord. 2 Corinthians 10:17. Let him who boasts, let him boast in the Lord. So two, grace and faith, those two elements, preclude boasting in self. When you are grace-oriented in recognition of that which you are able to boast in, have pride in, sanctify pride, and positive volition, active faith with respect to the doctrine in and of itself, when you are oriented in such way, then you recognize that truly all things are made possible by God. In spite of your person being used by God with respect to things, and your applications and works otherwise. Romans 3:27. Where then is boasting? Is it excluded by what kind of law of works? No, but by the law of faith. So the law of faith excludes boasting. And this obviously looking at the plan of salvation. We've done nothing to earn or deserve it. We've done nothing truly to earn or deserve the SG3 that is there for us, because it's all still based on who and what Jesus Christ is. All we're doing is being positive. All we're doing is just saying, God, you're right. And I'm lining up and I'm going with you. Because ultimately, you're going to determine the course of this world and its ultimate destiny. And you want to be on the right side. And then the grace is there, see, that He's going to bless you, prosper you otherwise. Romans 4:1-5. What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, is found? As Paul had to deal with, again, with these Judaizers who were proclaiming faith plus works for salvation, phase one. So phase one of salvation. And he's using Abraham as an example. For as Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. wherever that boast is not before God. It will not work in God's plan. For what does the Scripture say? And Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him, accounted to him, for righteousness. Now to the one who works, his wage is not reckoned according, literally, to grace. As a favor, really a poor translation. According to grace. But as what is due. But to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is reckoned as righteousness. Hence, a faith apart from works is how you get into heaven. But the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith again is reckoned as righteousness. And then three, boasting, sanctified boasting, is to submit to the standard of the Word of God in objective self-scrutiny. In other words, does it line up with doctrine? And you got to be intellectually honest and with an accurate critique in order for the boast to be legitimate. Is it in line with doctrine? Galatians 6:4. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone and not in regard to another. Compare 2 Corinthians 10, 12 through 16. Again, look at that in regards to Paul not boasting beyond his measure, his own applications. See, and here we include verse 12, for we are not bold to class or compare, ourselves with some of those who commend themselves. This competitive nature that you find in the ranks, even within the ministry, and always trying to compare. Just do your job, see. But when they measure themselves by themselves, compare themselves with themselves, they're without understanding. When you put it within a true, accurate light of critiquing in regards to what they've accomplished before God, that's right. Basically, you'll see these false teachers in regards to how empty and hypocritical they truly are. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, continue to lighten us to these things. In Jesus' name, amen.